direct from the web, it's Billy Masters Live. And now, please welcome your host, Billy Masters.
Hello. Sorry, I missed a cue. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Billy Masters Live. I was singing my theme song. I didn't even know that I was on. I was just like, oh, Billy Masters Live. I love that show. And then I realized I am Billy Masters, and I was live. And thank you, Monica. Today is Thursday, December 13th. Is that true? 23rd, excuse me, I said 13th. 23rd. Oh, my God, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I can't believe it. Where has the time gone? Welcome to Billy Masters Live. So I was doing a video and sound check. By the way, people, this is going to be a very interactive show. We have guests. Those of you who are watching, if you're friends with Thirsty Burlington or me and want to join us and say happy holidays, leave a comment and I'll bring you in live. Yes. But you might want to get yourself gussied up a little bit because, you know, there is a dress code here. It's Thirsty Burlington, for fuck's sake. I was doing a sound and video check, and I was looking, and I'm like, oh, my God, I look like an old hag, and I'm adjusting the lights. And then I took off the glasses and said, oh, my God, it's gorgeous. Then I realized I look gorgeous because I wasn't wearing my glasses. So if you're watching with glasses, take them off. Take them off. I'm much more gorgeous without them, although the humor is just as scintillating. Anyway, this is our Christmas show. And my guest, you know, I'm kind of a little speechless because my guest, we were talking about this yesterday. We did a little sound check. We have known each other for, oh my God, over 30 years. It's staggering. And in Los Angeles, I have videos of us in those days. But of course, I don't have any of them here, so I can't show anything to you. But of course, I am talking about the fabulous, the one and only Thirsty Burlington, shown there with Bob Mackie. So I have this clip. That, you know, we're going to do so many clips and so many pictures, and you're just going to be so tired of both of us. I have this clip. Thirsty Burlington, if you don't know, is a Boston native. She is the premier Cher impersonator in the world. But I don't consider him like, you know, a drag queen or a female impersonator. I consider Thirsty Burlington an actress because I've seen him play so many different roles. And this is going to give you just a little clip about who he is and what he does, particularly in Provincetown. Take a look.
Who's your adorable friend? He's not just my friend.
Oh, this isn't that clip. See, I got the wrong clip, for fuck's sake. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. That's a clip from his movie. Okay, here is what he does in Provincetown.
Up next, the legendary lady of Provincetown, Thirsty Burlington.
I look fantabulous.
Do you believe in life after love? I can feel something inside me say.
Perform for the first time ever.
Thirsty Burlington.
Oh, 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 oh,
Did that whet your appetite just a little bit? Because I saw some of you singing along and dancing. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my dearest friends of over 30 years, the fabulous Thirsty Burlington.
Well, hello.
All right, we decided. No close-ups. How are you, my love?
I'm really terrific. How are you?
I'm great. People should know we have talked about doing this for a really long time, and it's been a challenging year for a lot of people, but for you in particular, I think that it's your story to tell. So why don't you tell people what you've been going through this year?
I got the cancer.
You did have the cancer. You still might have the cancer, because as you said to me, because you said to me yesterday that, again, you have to think of yourself as always having it because you have to be diligent.
You, I'm technically in remission from colon cancer.
Thank you.
So, you kind of have to wait like 5 years to really say you're out of the woods.
So do you have to always think of yourself as vigilant about it and that you have to really think, oh, could that be something?
I'm kind of like that. I'm kind of paranoid about everything anyway.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. I'm always like, I left the house and I was like, I have Omicron. I'm all by myself in the graveyard. I'm like, No. I was diagnosed in March.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
So in the middle of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Which is no fun. How did you feel about going into the hospital for surgery right in the middle of this?
Well, I love going into hospital for surgery, but usually not that kind of, no. It was fine. The only thing is I had to be alone. Patrick couldn't come with me to the hospital at all.
Your partner?
So I was just, did it. The minute I found out, I said, let's get rid of this. Let's take care of it. And they cut it out. Now I have a semicolon. And did 12 rounds of chemotherapy. Which was probably the most challenging thing I've ever had to do, because I've had, my hips replaced and my shoulder and my knee.
But you were also, during the chemo, it was during the summer when you were doing shows in Provincetown, which that was pretty challenging, because day to day, you didn't know if you could do a show.
Yeah, I did one show a week. Mm-hmm. So my chemo was always on a Tuesday, so I made sure I did it Monday, so I felt
smart.
I had a good 2 weeks to recover. But it makes you very cloudy. You don't really feel like yourself. And I really want to be there for my audience. So I was disappointed when I had to cancel two shows.
Mm-hmm. But you soldiered on. There were some shows, because I know we had talked, where you'd say, I really might not know till that afternoon. And even when you were sick, was there a show that you told me that, like, you had to, at one point, like, you actually threw up in the wings?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's devotion to your audience. I mean, you could have just sat home and said, I got the cancer. Leave me alone.
But it gave me something to look forward to. I mean, there's nothing more than I enjoy more than being on stage. I'm more comfortable on stage than I am out like now. Like,
well,
I'm
not
very,
now.
I'm a
You're
very
with me.
Shy person. I'm great with you. But I'm really shy. So, putting on that mask kind of helps me get out there.
And was doing the show, in a way, what helped you get through the chemo? Because that must have been really tough.
Yeah, I mean, you get all that love. And Provincetown was so incredibly supportive. I couldn't have wished to have been in a better place. I got phone calls from my friends daily. My sister reached out to me daily.
Right, we texted a lot. I don't know if we actually saw each other this year in Provincetown, because I was coming in for like a day and then would leave.
I saw you the year before.
Yes. Well, we have some pictures of us. But I talked about your appearance in Provincetown this summer 2 weeks ago on this show. And I want to show the clip of us talking about it with the legendary designer, Mr. Bob Mackie.
Oh, Bob, can we tell the story of what happened in Provincetown this summer with Scott Townsend?
Well, what happened? I went to see his show.
Right. A Cher impersonator.
And I just, adore Scott, because Scott can do Cher, and you're not just hearing her sing. you can have a conversation with Scott, and you swear you're talking to the real woman. You know, it makes me crazy, but I love sitting there and just talking to her.
And Scott's
a drag queen. You know, Scott Townsend is his name, but his stage name is Thirsty Burlington.
And I
could never remember her name. What did I call it? And I couldn't remember her stage name. I said, "What's Scott's real stage name?" And so I tried to think of it, and I came up with Drippy Girlington.
I just remember,
if he sees this show, I don't think I've ever told him that.
Well, Scott was going to be with us today, but he was having his final chemo.
I know. Yeah,
so we are keeping our fingers crossed.
We love Scott, and we want the best for him.
But what happened this summer is he signs autographs and meets people afterwards, and you noticed that he was a little chilly.
Yes.
And you brought over his jacket and put it on him. And he said, "I can finally say I was dressed by Bob Mack."
Well, Scott's just such a clever, you know, and when he sings her songs, he sounds just like her, you know, and when he talks to you, he sounds just like her.
So let's show the footage of what happened. So let's show what happened when he put the jacket on you. Hold on.
Oh. Thank you, Bobby. Oh, look at all this craziness.
He's fluffing, yeah. He's fluffing.
Are you taking pictures?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Do I look like Howard Stern?
No.
I mean, it's pretty close.
No, it's not.
It's a little close.
No, it's not. Great.
Woo-hoo! I don't know where to look.
So gorgeous. What did that feel like? I mean, what does he mean to you?
He's the sweetest guy. You know, I've been trying to get him to see my show since I started in Provincetown, and I didn't really want to
do it like
him.
What? Like design your outfits?
No, I mean, I can't afford for him to design my outfits. I mean, he can give me an outfit. I'm a size 6. I mean, a 12.
Well, let's see. Bob, do you want to give Thirsty something to wear?
Well, you just never know, do you?
You know, we couldn't get Thirsty to Bob, so we brought Bob to Thirsty.
Oh, this is so sweet. You're such a busy person. What are you doing?
Oh, listen, it's the holidays. I'm being lovely and gracious.
You're the best.
You're looking good, darling.
Thanks. I feel terrific.
You look good.
Do you remember the first time you met Thirsty Bob?
I do. It's been a few years ago. And I was just, I was so freaked out because I felt like I was really listening to the real girl, you know? And I went, wait a minute, this is too weird for words. And I couldn't get over it. And Joe McFate was with me, and he knows the real girl as well. And we were both just looking at each other and shaking our heads and thinking, wow, this is crazy. It's really good.
I'm freaking out now.
Thirsty, what was it like the first time you met Bob Mackie? Because I'm sure for years you must have idolized him.
Of course. And, you know, I wanted to be very respectful of both Cher and Cher's family because, you know, in the past, I would tell off-color jokes, or not off-color, but I was like, I really have to keep my stuff together so I don't make him mad. So I just did what I had to do and stayed in the pocket. And, you know, it's very intimidating. But he's the most kindest guy ever.
Bob, you know, it's funny because it seems like, you know, you had talked about in Provincetown that at certain times there were dozens, it seemed, of shares all over the place.
Well, my first trip to Provincetown, I didn't even know what happened there. Someone said, you have to come up. A bunch of people are coming up. Why don't you join us? So I'm driving down the street in a cab, And all of a sudden I'm looking over and there's this Cher person on a motor scooter or I don't know, one of those things that goes on its own. Anyway, and I thought, oh no, I shouldn't be here. This is not right for me. I'm trying to get away from all of that. And so it took a while that time. And there were several Chers wandering around the street. But it wasn't Scotty. It wasn't him. I didn't meet him right away. And then I went to see him and I was like flabbergasted. I couldn't believe it.
I was hiding behind bushes and stuff.
Oh, be quiet.
I was afraid to approach.
You know, I've got a bunch of pictures. As I said, I showed this one at the beginning, which I love that blue number, Scott. That's gorgeous.
That wig weighs 80 pounds.
That must have been a while back because you didn't wear that last time I saw you.
No.
And then, and then there was this outfit, this silver, the disco ball outfit.
I mean, who is that woman? It's too close for me.
You know, it's funny.
It's a little freaky.
Is it the voice too, Bob? Because the voice is uncanny.
The voice. There's a brilliant mind in there working all the time.
You know, I've been a parrot all my life. So I've been impersonating everyone's voices. I can hear a voice and pretty much pick it up. I would do like the nuns I would work at a daycare center or just all these weird, random people. And then I'd come out of the movie Mask and I said, Rocky, don't do this to me. Make yourself well. And my friend's like, yeah, you really? You really? Sounded like Cher. You should like enter a contest. And I did. And I won. And then it just took off from there.
There you are.
Here I am.
Scott is taking off.
We should mention that Bob has a new book. I'm giving you a plug, Bob, because you didn't write the book, but The Art of Bob Mackie. Look, we just got rid of our guests. Thirsty's gone. But The Art of Bob Mackie, which is just such a gorgeous book, Bob. I love it so much.
I have four of them now. Bob sent me a copy. Thank you.
We all love when we get a gift from Bob. Bob, had you on 2 weeks ago, and I just have to ask you something I didn't ask you on that show. Thirsty, this isn't about you. But Bob, with West Side Story out, I was remembering when Cher did her version of West Side Story playing all the characters. Did you do the costumes for that?
I did. Yes, I did.
So what was it like doing that many different characters and fast changes? Did they have to be custom, for that?
They weren't that fast, really.
Because it was
cut each section separately. But right. It was kind of funny because she played all the boys, I guess. I think she was Bernardo, and then she was one of the Jets, and and then she was Anita, and then she was Maria, and it was something. It was one of those things you think of doing when you're in high school, you know. And all of a sudden, one day, she just said she was going to do it, and we all went, "Oh, really?
It's on my list to recreate."
Yes. It's such a great, and I was just watching it because I said to myself, wait, I think she did that. And interestingly enough, I think she actually was most convincing as the boys.
Well, yeah, she's, you know, she's,
she has a masculine swagger about her.
Well, she does. And she doesn't have, you know, she's not all curvy and rounded, you know, like a Hollywood girl. She's very lean and broad shoulders, and she looked good. We did have to pat her crotch up a bit, though. It looked
well, really as empty. One does.
It looked very empty on a girl.
Bob, I want to thank you for coming on and taking time out.
Thank you, Bob.
I just appreciate this so much. You're so lovely.
You're the best. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, Scotty. Thank you.
And Joe as well. Thank you, Joe, for helping us out.
Yeah, I'm the voice
it.
In the Bob. Background.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, honey. I'm here.
Joe, you could come in for a second and say hi. Just get behind Bobby. Hi, the man behind the designer.
Exactly. Merry Christmas, babe.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much, Bob and Joe. Merry Christmas.
It's my pleasure so much. Have a good holiday, darling.
Thank you, sweetheart. Bye-bye, Bob. Oh, my God, the cavalcade of stars. Oh, it's going to go. It can only go downhill from here. You start at the top at Bob Mackie. Oh, my God, Bob Mackie's still there. Bob, for 1 second, before I let you go, Bob, I have to show you one picture. And I want to ask you about this. Hold on. Bob, look at this picture.
Yes. What about it?
Bob, you were like a little hot hunk.
You bet your ass.
I'm a hot hunk.
I just wanted to say I saw this picture and said, oh, my God, I'm now getting a little aroused by Bob Mackie.
That was in the 70s. Do you know how young
Well, I mean, you know, I did crop out all of the pictures above your bed, which is so gorgeous. But, you know, just you on the bed, that's going to keep me warm all winter long, Bob. Thanks, Bob. Bye, honey. Oh, my God. Bob Mackie.
Who's next?
Barbara Streisand? Well, you never know. Now, I want to tell people, you know, this was not part of the show, but I found this last night. I knew about this, but I forgot about it. Someone very dear to you started a GoFundMe campaign to help you to help pay for your bills because of the cancer treatment. And it happens to be $1,500 away from its limit. So I'm putting the link up there. And because that's a really hard link to remember, I've started this. You can just go to billymasters.com/thirsty. And if you want to make a donation, it would be nice if we can hit that $1,500 mark by Christmas. That's what I think. I know you're not saying anything.
I'm not saying anything.
I know, but I didn't know, you know, and Thirsty doesn't know about this, and yet I'm doing it because fuck all of you. Yeah, that's why. And, let's see, who do we got? Oh my God, look at this. Carol Townsend is saying, you're the one making me cry. Carol is. Okay. Hold on a second. Hold on. That would be this woman?
That is.
That is Carol Townsend. So I, it's okay. I got pictures. I got pictures of everyone. So let's see who else we got. Carol is great. Scott Clark says, love this. Great.
Hey, Scott.
And Scott's great. And Craig Sutton. Yes, it's Thirsty. Well, of course it's Thirsty. Who the hell else would it be? You know, I want to, you know, since we're talking about your stepmother, and also I guess we should, because I think it's important. We have your siblings.
Oh, well, that's my sister Jeannie, who passed away, and that's my little niece Amanda, who's now 30 something.
Oh, wow. Around.
And look at my perm. I think I was in.
I love
school.
Your perm. I love your perm. But here is also your mother.
That's Doris and me at one of my birthdays. I think I was 17.
So what was it like as a baby drag queen, Thirsty?
I grew up kind of, I actually grew up, we were living in Manomet on Cape Cod, and then...
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't really know it either until I looked it up. No. Then my parents got divorced and we kind of moved closer to my grandmother in Cambridge.
Right.
And I was this little girly boy who got picked on daily. So I would do anything you could possibly do to look more like a boy. I would cut my eyelashes off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I just, you know, I would cut my hair really short, and I would just look like a little lesbian. It didn't really work. I was just too goddamn pretty.
So, you know, if I had a nickel.
But all, you know, I had all the prettiest girlfriends.
And then you came out to the clubs. You were really young.
Yeah, after high school, I became a hairdresser, as you have to do. And mm-hmm. I hadn't really smoked or drank until I was like 21. I went to Blaine Hair School in Kenmore Square in Boston. Mm-hmm. And then everybody was going to that local bar to drink, and I didn't really drink. And then I was probably 21, 22 when we met.
Yep. Yeah, we were trying to do the math last night.
Then I would.
And you weren't doing Cher initially. You were just a club kid.
just a club kid.
Yeah.
And then I started to do drag, and I was probably 90 pounds. So yep. that waist era was in. And I always loved Christy Turlington. And I had a friend who said, you know, you kind of love Christy Turlington. Why don't you be Thirsty Burlington?
And oh, this is Christy Turlington.
Isn't she gorgeous? I look.
And
like
where is that?
That is in Provincetown. She oh, has, she, I can't remember. She's got a, I can't think.
Like a place in Provincetown?
No, she has, I don't want to say benefit. I want to say she, it's called Every Mother Counts.
Oh, like she a charity or something, a yes, foundation.
You, a charity. Yeah. And she raises money by running.
Oh, really?
Cape Cod. And they asked me to show up and introduce her. So I wow. did. And she, I was like, oh my God, you're gorgeous. She's like, I've known about you for 15 years.
No.
Like, that's crazy. It's just so crazy.
You see, I was going to ask you where the name came from. So now you've told us. I had no idea.
It was just simple as that. So, you know, I... And then, you know, I started drinking and I made up for it. And now I'm not drinking.
Well, first I will say,
you can't really drink when you're taking care of your liver.
You know, as somebody who was close to you as a child, you were not much of a drinker that I remember.
Not in the beginning. And then, you know, everyone, you know, they want to buy you a drink when they see you in the club. And
no one wanted to buy me a drink.
Well, you have to charm them.
Well, apparently you charmed them far more than I did. And so when you started doing shows, because I remember you doing lots of characters and lots of different people.
Michael Jackson and Judy yep. Garland and Celine yep. Dion. And then I created a bingo character named Tiki Bronstein. And her name, she's actually a real person. I'm surprised I haven't gotten sued yet. She was from St. Croix, and she went to my private school in Franklin, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, there was really nothing to do during the winter. This is 25 years ago. And I said, why don't I dress up like an old Jewish woman? We play bingo. People come in and drink, and we have lots of fun. And she's one of my favorite characters because she's so unlike me. She's very raw and raunchy and horny. And
isn't she padded?
Costumes. Oh, yeah. I wear a big yeah. fat suit.
Right. I remember her.
Now that I can't find the fat suit, so she's lost weight.
Well, you know, we all
I'm actually
go
supposed
up
to start
down.
Bingo on the 6th. Of
in Provincetown? Where? At
yeah,
the Crown?
Hopefully. No, at the A House.
Oh, well, there you go. See, you know what's funny? We didn't talk about this yesterday. We talked about all the clubs. And when I started doing shows, you know, 1990, late 80s, you worked in one club and that was it. And then when I started, we used to hang out mostly at Buddy's, but I also had a show at the 1270 and then eventually Chaps. And for like 7 years, I was at three different clubs, and that was kind of unheard of. But you were somebody who also did that,
always.
That you started work, you know, because the clubs got very territorial with us. And I said, look, if you want me, I will be exclusive to you on Wednesdays. That's how I did it. How did you
and
do
I've
it?
I've always done that. Like, you know, I would do bingo at the A House and my show at the Crown and Anchor and then something at, you know, Post Office Cabaret. Like, I always, from the very get-go, before we even talk arrangements, I'm like, now listen, I do a lot of things in different places.
Right.
So I can't be exclusive to just one person or one.
Yeah, name. I always felt that if you did other clubs, it actually helps all the clubs.
Oh, definitely.
Because you're cross-promoting. And, you know, why do we have to be territorial? You said something really funny in an interview where you said that that you were a drag queen when drag queens supported each other and were happy for each other's success, and it wasn't bitchy and catty, although it was a little catty in Boston.
You know, my drag mother was always... always compliment people and be kind to people. And
who was that?
It was Joanna James. She was living in my
hello, family. Joanna James.
Oh, Booty! Booty! My drag mother.
And if I could show this photo, oh, Joanna has frozen. Joanna, come back to us. If Joanna, I'm going to kick you from
right, my football, I miss you.
Joanna, your video is frozen. I'm going to kick you from the studio. Click on the link and come back in.
Kicker.
Okay, kicker. I know, exactly. But I found this picture of the two of you. Look at this. Wow. What year is this?
That might be in Miami, and it's probably, I don't know, early 2000s?
Really?
It's probably 15,
you are tiny.
20 years ago. Look at my little waist.
Tiny! Now, let's see if we may have lost Joanna for good. It was a cameo appearance. But there is a clip I want to show you from that time, because you did not always do the voice. Originally, you were just an impersonator and you would lip sync.
Yeah.
So let's show this
clip.
But
everybody was lip syncing back
then. No, I mean, that's the thing. Back then, nobody sang live.
It's almost like, but, you know, Christine Aguilera in Burlesque. I didn't know you could sing like that. Well, you didn't have.
Let's show the clip.
And that's the point. Is she or isn't he? Welcome to Boy Rageous, a musical tribute to female superstars done by talented male performers who lip-sync their numbers but sound pretty good in person, too.
I'm talking to Scott as Cher. You're going to stay in character. Tell me how you do the voice for her.
Well, she's got a very raspy voice that you have to kind of get, and she kind of has like a little twang to it.
And the laugh. Do the laugh again.
And that was at the Palace in Saugus. Hey, and Joanna, you were in that too.
Yep.
Yes, I remember that. And we had a limo ride every night.
We did.
No.
They took pictures up by limo every night.
So here's a few more pictures.
That's what I
What is this?
Gay USA 10.
And what is this picture? The story, Joanna, what's the story behind this picture?
Well, this is in Provincetown, and we used to go to the boat slip for tea dance. And it was just an idea so that we could all sort of have the same outfit on. So that's Charlie Hyde.
So again, that's just fun. It's not for a show. It was just for fun.
Yeah. And that was Candy Cane in the middle.
Candy Cane who? Hyde. Charlie, you're right.
And go out
Charlie Hyde now.
And here's another picture of you guys with Charlie. What is this? Thirsty, what is this?
It looks like Putting on the Pumps with Joanna James, and we're probably just hanging out.
So would you guys just dress up to go out? Would you go dress up and just say, we're going to go out tonight, let's all dress up?
Yeah, back in the day, that's what we did. We called it going out tipping.
Going out tipping with Audrey Arden and Terry Taylor. Yeah.
And did that, you know, that's one of the things is that you guys, I would see you around Boston all the time. It's like the drag queens really were like elevated to royalty in Boston in the day.
Well, I met Thirsty through Marky Gobachi, who was the manager at Buddy's.
At Buddy's, he was my boss. Yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace. He has passed on.
I know.
But he said, "Wait till you meet my friend Scott." And I think he thought we were going to be rivals, but we ended up being best of friends. And the years coming up, Scotty and I were inseparable until I moved to Provincetown, and he even worked at my salon, which was a blessing.
No.
He was by my side when I lost my partner Benjamin, and I'll always love him and be thankful for those days. And you know, we've had some ups and downs, and we've had some timeouts and stuff, but coming from a place of love, I love you. I'm so freaking proud of you, Scotty, and every show you've done has just been one next to the, they just get better all the time since the day I met you. And I know I was in Provincetown for a few years before you came. And then you came and took the town by storm. And I remember Size Queens, how much I loved that show, and Big Bone Bodies. And just to see you come up and elevate to where you are now has just been tremendous. And I'm really happy about your health. And I'm sorry I can't be with you more often because I really want to be.
Speaking of the old days, I found this picture that our friend Alan Cavallo took of you guys.
Love Alan. Oh.
Look at this.
Now, we used to do these photo shoots in the photo booth upstairs at Alan.
Oh, you're right. Yep.
Yeah. But Alan has a lot of documentation of us in those days.
Really? Oh, yes, God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I had no idea. And I'm looking if I have anything else here. I think that was like everything I have. But I think that, you know, what's great is that before Thirsty, Joanna was already an established name. And I love this idea that you have a drag mother who takes you under their wing and then helps you, kind of protects you and shows you the ropes.
Totally. And Jimmy was always very supportive of everybody. You know, he
right.
was never catty and always wanted everyone to do their very best. It was refreshing.
I never set out to be anyone's drag mother, but when I met someone who you could bring them to the fountain and they would actually drink on their own, and you didn't have to tell them what song to do, you know, I would say, come on, let's go. And as having a baby in the nest, I probably should have let her go a long time ago, but I've always been super protective and just wanted the best. I didn't want anyone taking advantage of Thirsty's good nature because she's just really good natured. And, you know, sometimes it bites you in the ass. Sometimes it's you're too critical or, you know, I should have passed on my mother torch a long time ago. But because I became a drag mother so organically and I never went out looking for a drag daughter, Thirsty's my perfect daughter and she'll always be that.
And by the way, you know, you talk about how the good nature, I also have to say the good nature of you, Jimmy, because so many times when I was doing shows, I'd say, I have this crazy idea. I have no money, but will you come and do something for me? And you always did. And I've always appreciated it. And Thirsty's the same way.
A lot of times it was just about being nice to people and, you know, getting exposure and it let us all
and having fun.
Yeah, having fun. The more we started working and doing shows and getting paid for it, the less we would go out tipping just for the fun.
Right. But now you can. Now I never leave the house.
You know, I've said that to so many people that, you know, in the old days, we went out and were crazy just
every
to be
night.
Crazy. Now, if I'm not getting paid, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah, right. Happy hour for me is a nap.
Jimmy, I love you. Thank you for joining
love
us.
You,
your video's cutting out, but thank you for doing
you,
this.
Buddy, and I'll see you this summer.
Thank you very much.
Happy holidays, my
I'll
darling.
Be knocking on your door with a dozen donuts.
Okay. Oh my God! Now I'm coming. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye. Sweetheart.
Oh, it's this is your life. Well, okay, speaking, you know, you give your, people should know, Scott doesn't, or Thirsty doesn't know anybody who's coming on, and doesn't know any pictures I have or videos I have, and yet you've set me up beautifully, because there is somebody who, I have to find the picture, hold on a second, where the fuck is it? Oh, God, where, oh, okay, well, this is not the one I wanted, but this is good enough. You were very close to somebody, and I'm wondering if you'd like to say, this is you giving a eulogy.
This was for Pearlene.
Pearlene.
Away. We were in a show called Size Queens together, because she was very big and I was very skinny. And it's also a double entendre.
Yes, it is.
And she passed away, I'd say, like, 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, maybe. Was it that long?
Was it long ago? I don't remember.
It might be. It might be. And I love Pearlene. And Pearlene
and
was,
she was the sweetest.
Oh, again, so great. And we should point out that you will be performing on New Year's Day and at the Crown and Anchor. And what's happening with this show? The show's kind of been tweaked because of the Omarosa.
The Omarosa variant. We were going to do like a disco night where everybody would just be dancing and I would pop up and do Turn Back Time and then do maybe Take Me Home, and then maybe end with Believe, just sporadically and very loose. Well, now you can't really dance with a mask on, and we have to be very
careful. Certainly can't suck dick with a mask on.
You can't suck dick with a mask on.
That's not good.
We remember what that was like. I can't get the tide to take me out. So where did my train of thought just left me? So now it's going to be more of the Crown's been very great about being very careful, and we're showing vaccination cards before you enter. So it'll be more of a seated variety show type of thing. We're going to have Mahogany.
Oh, I love Mahogany.
And my drag daughter, Lied a Lot, will be performing.
I don't
know. So now
know
I probably
I
don't have to do as much. I'll just do a number and go home.
Isn't hosting the best? Oh, well, I love hosting. Hosting, it's hit and run. You're in, you're out.
You're in, you're out.
So speaking of in and out,
dirty here, mind.
Here are some people who you're close with. Tell people who this, and of course, tell people who this is.
Frank Roboto, who owns Club Cafe, where I first got my start.
Who we go back at least 35 years.
And that's my buddy, Joe Poza, who does the most amazing Joan Rivers.
Yep.
And he actually was one of the friends who called me every day during my chemo.
Well, they're here as well.
Ah! Hi, Scotty.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Thirsty. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Joe. Hi, Frank.
I feel like this is your life or something.
It kind of is.
What an honor to be here. Bob Mackie, Joanna, and Billy, and Thirsty. Scott, you know how we feel about you. I do. I call you every day. We spoke today. How was the sound? Our sound?
It's fine. It's fine. I'm going to actually make you guys bigger so that we, since you are really the guests right now. Frank, I remember you guys when you started Club Cafe. And I remember that you were a big proponent of giving a stage for the drag queens to really strut their stuff.
Yeah. One of the earliest things we did was the putting on the pumps that Scott Joanna were talking about. And it was a huge hit. I think we should do it on a Wednesday night, maybe, or Monday.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and it was huge. But I mean, I remember you and your name wasn't Billy Masters.
I know. Well, you know, we tried. You know, whenever somebody calls me a name other than Billy, I'm like, oh, they go back. So, you know, it's funny because I was just in Club Cafe 3-4 weeks ago, right around Thanksgiving, to see Varla, and David Whitman seats me. I said, did I just walk through a time warp? What is happening?
Well, you got to get back there and see Seth Sykes.
Oh, I know. I'm definitely going to. Yeah, what you guys have done with the club, and what I think is great is that it has survived all these years, like all of us have, is that it's reinvented itself. It's probably the only place people go to gay people go to dance anymore in Boston.
Well, talking about reinventing, Thirsty Burlington.
Yes.
Reinvents herself every day.
How?
surgery. All those facelifts. Like me, my darling.
I need a little something.
Oh, you do not. And Joe, you came into the picture a lot later for me. Well, first, you're probably younger than all of us, doing Joan Rivers. And you guys have done shows together as well.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Thirsty, Scott, Thirsty. We knew each other in, like, the 90s. I came to Provincetown in 98, 99. And we knew each other. And we always had a tremendous amount of respect for each other.
Yeah.
We would see each other on the street barking or just in passing.
What are you doing, you son of a bitch?
Oh, hello. And there was just an energy energy that we both felt, and we've talked about it since. But it wasn't until 2014, I think, that we worked together, 14, 15. We did a good 5 years together in the mid, like, 13, 14, doing our show, An Evening at the Birdcage. And it,
oh, it's just such a great show.
Creative blend and our philosophy on life and the bigger picture was just very similar. And we got to know each other extremely well, and it's a blessing, you know, really. And I'm so happy he's well. She's just the best in what he does. She's just raises the bar.
You're gonna make me cry.
Well, it's very true. And, you know, and I'm just honored to be here and to be part of this and to call you a friend, a very dear friend. You're a very dear friend of mine. And
you're dying and no one's telling
you're family,
that.
Baby.
Well, I gotta say, you know, Joe, you're as good as Thirsty's Cher is, your Joan is that good. And as somebody who worked for her, I can say to you, and you also knew her as well, but from the outside looking, both of you keep these people alive. Not that Cher's not alive, but she's in a cryogenic chamber somewhere, probably.
Well, thank you for saying that. And you know, Scott and I have a similar approach, I think. We talk about just it comes from the inside, but you also have to have the look. But you have to know what, not only the lyrics or the jokes, but you have to know the nuances and the spirit of the person. You know,
right.
That's what takes it to another level if you really understand energy as we do.
Yeah, we're more actors.
And, you know, as actors.
You know, anybody can go, woo!
Right.
That's the easy way out. You know, you really have to get
it. Yeah, Scott and Joe are phenomenal actors. They are. And they
I said that at the top is that I really think of you guys. I think saying a female impersonator or a celebrity impersonator minimizes the character work, the voice, the mannerisms. It is acting.
Thank you for that. And, you know, having worked with Scott for 5 years, he taught me a lot. You know, I had done a lot prior, but he was willing to, you know, try this, the eyebrows. You know, I can be like, well, I do it my way. But I listened and taught me a lot.
And Joe would teach me a lot because I tend to go off on a tangent.
Yeah.
And Joe was like, stay in the lane.
In your lane, because I'm more theatrical. I was a dancer and you spoke of West Side Story. I did West Side Story, a tour.
Oh, wow.
A theatrical background. So as Thirsty and I talk about, you know, I would bring the theatrical approach to the work, like hit your marks, you know, do your thing no matter what. But Thirsty, on the other hand, brought me a bit of the dragness. Ooh, have a little fun and feel the this or the makeup. So we really absorbed each other's approach, although the main approach is very much the same, which is
truth.
The truth. I think.
Yeah, of course.
It's the truth.
That's what it is.
And the other one thing I want to say is we really have a tremendous amount of respect for each other. There's never like working together, oh, you know, they like me or they like you, or, you know, she'll be the first to say,
no, we lift you know, each other
like
up.
You say, the Joan is great. She'll say, and I'll say, well, your Cher is amazing. Like, without,
well, you know, it's funny. It's what we just said about Joanna is that the better the other one is, the better the whole thing is, you know,
yeah,
you
and
have
I
to
never
encourage
got,
each other.
I never got when, you know, if you were the lead in a show, you would hire these like mediocre people because you were afraid that someone was going to be better than you. And I was like, no, hire the best. So everyone
brings you
up.
Lifted
up.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I never got that.
I'll tell you, it's the same thing in business.
Oh, Frank, I mean, that's the thing is the reason Club Cafe, I mean, you've seen how many places come and go in Boston. And, you know, we said this earlier, is that there is room for everyone. I have never known you, and even back in the day, to not encourage other people if they were doing things. You were the first to say, have a great opening and send something or whatever.
Yeah, we still work with other clubs.
I know you do.
Yeah, it's not an issue. We know who we are, and we do what we do best.
And there's a reason you've lasted how many years now?
We just entered our 39th.
Oh, God. Can you believe it?
39 years.
I'm exhausted. and can I just say, I had dinner with Varla. The food is still fantastic.
Thank you. Just to set the record straight.
Yeah.
Just older than Thirsty.
No, you're not.
Oh, come on.
Are you? Maybe.
And it was
weak.
And you know, and just to pay tribute, your first partner you opened it with was Rob? Was it Rob?
Oh, you in the Club Cafe?
Yes.
Well, there were four of us originally.
Okay.
Alistair. There was Franco Campanello.
Franco, go ahead.
And Caleb Davis.
Okay.
And then we split the club and the health club into two separate businesses.
They took over downstairs, right?
Joe McAllister and I were running.
Oh, Joe McAllister. God, yeah.
Passed away in 93.
Yeah. Lovely, also.
I used
lovely,
to go to the health meal. Club downstairs.
Metropolitan, of course, we all
So
went.
I took them home.
And now it's what? What is it now? It's something completely different.
Place, yeah.
Yeah, right. But you guys are still there. You're still packing them in every night. You're in Fort Lauderdale now, right, guys?
Yeah, we're in Gay Town of South Florida, Wilton Manors.
Yes. And where we all migrate.
I go up infrequently for like 3 or 4 days at a time.
And Thirsty's been at our home many times. We've done events down here. You know, the Wilton Manors in Fort Lauderdale know Thirsty's work. We work at the...
Joe just did a show at Ronnie Larson's Theater.
Yep, Ronnie. I've been working with Ronnie. But Thirsty and I have done our show at venues here, the pub. We showed Thirsty the film at one of the cinemas here for Pride. So a lot of the people in this community know and love Thirsty Burlington.
And
as
we've
well.
Done some crap shows. I mean, not we were crap, but you show up and they've got a boombox.
It's South Florida.
It's been wonderful.
We did Mexico together, and we lost together. Scott in customs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Was that in Encanto? Were you at Encanto?
We were at the Palm.
The Palm that year.
That year.
And I had recently had hip surgery, so I had both my hips replaced. But I was on the mend. But I can't do a lot of walking through airport. I mean, I can now, but I couldn't then. So they put me in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So they wheeled me through a different direction because I had to go with all the other people in wheelchairs. And then Joe and Frank went that way. Now, Frank, as my manager at the time, had my passport and all this stuff. So they're pushing me through. Now I'm in the customs line and they're already VIP on the other side. And they're like, where are you going? And now I think we landed in California. We were going to meet Tony Triple.
LAX. Yeah.
So they were like, where are you going? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm crying. Just pick a town. I'm like, Moose Breath, Montana. And they just let me through. It's like, God. Now we have these crazy stories.
Yeah. So many wonderful stories. So many stories. And such a gift, really.
Oh, so funny.
Remember that time in Mexico when the mobs flew into our dressing room?
Yeah, in our dressing room at the Palm. All of a sudden, we're in the middle of the show, and all these moths were coming in through the ventilation.
The vents.
They were in our wigs, and you went on for
like,
Judy.
It was coming your wig. I had a bunch of them under my Judy wig, so I'm like, forget trouble. And they're pecking at my skull.
It was so bizarre. Whatever that was that night.
And then they went away just as fast as they came. It was like the plague.
And they went away.
It was kind of biblical.
And what
it was very biblical.
Stayed with in that apartment.
Bruce Valanche.
Bruce Valanche was my roommate.
Of course he was.
And then you thought you lost me or I got kidnapped or something.
We thought he was, yeah. Go ahead.
The coyotes.
We all go out.
Come home. He's so small.
Never made it home.
He was under the blankets and Bruce went in to use the shower in his room. And all of a sudden Scott popped up. And the two of them screamed.
Like he's been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Joe, Frank, thank you so much for joining us. I got to keep moving, but you have been great. And please have a happy holiday. Thank you again for doing this.
Billy, really thanks for having us. And Thirsty,
adore you guys.
So thankful to be here. Happy holiday. All the best in 2022.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
I'm coming to visit.
Oh. I'm coming down too, but I got my own place. I never go there. Oh, the cavalcade keeps coming. So Joe brought up
Fort Lauderdale and stay with Joe and Frank.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take the show on the road. Fine. You mentioned, Joe mentioned your movie. So tell people about Thirsty the movie and how it all came together. Here's the DVD cover. Hello. Boy, it's almost like you look a little like that person.
I wasn't a fan of it.
Oh, well, you know, because you were... Yes, exactly.
I had Lisa Thomas and Margot Pelletier.
I know Margot.
Who's now passed, sadly.
Yeah.
Came to town and saw my show with Perlene. and said, you're really interesting. We want to get to know you a little bit better, maybe do like a little movie or something. And so I just assumed they were full of shit. So I kind of ignored it.
As most people are.
Well, I mean, so a lot of people blow smoke up your ass, so you don't really, you know, take it for a grain of salt. So then I ignored them. And then the next year they said, we really want to do something. So they began calling me and just, I was kind of giving my life story over the phone for probably a year. So they had stories from when I was a child all the way up to the current date.
Were you thinking that this was going to go into a film?
I didn't think it was going to be as big as a film that it was. I just figured it was going to be some sort of like documentary. But they like hired like my mother and my father and my uncles and all these people that were part of my life and three little separate little Scotties. And, you know, Johnny Bouchon, who you had on your show, played
Who I adore.
Yeah, teenage Scotty. And I, when I showed up to set, there were like those cranes and everything was like, it was like a real movie. I know. And, you know, I grew up very poor in the projects of Cambridge and we were poor, but we weren't filthy. And I remember being on set and there was like ketchup on the walls and it was like, gross. And I was like, we were poor. We weren't disgusting. So I kind of made them like clean up a bit.
Tone that down a little.
It was the most incredible experience. I mean, who has a movie about their life? It's just nuts.
Well, let's show the trailer from the movie, which I started showing earlier, and then we can talk about it. So everybody watch the magic that is Thirsty.
Who's your adorable friend? He's not just my friend. He's a star.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Thirsty Burlington.
Drag is liberating for guys like me who catch a lot of hell for being too feminine.
That's a guy in front of me.
I don't want to look like a girl.
Oh, my poor baby.
Hey, girly boy, where are you going?
Is this a girl or a boy?
I don't know. Pull his pants down. Let's see what he's got.
You're a freaky little itch. You know what that means. You got some nasty-ass thing going on in your jeans.
You are my perfect little boy.
Frankly, the whole drag thing leaves me cold.
Me too.
How would you like to join the show full time?
I'm your girl.
You can't work if you're drunk.
You know what, Richie?
Time Thirsty, we're not on our own.
Get rid of Thirsty. She's too much like your mother anyway.
And my mother was great.
Your mother was no goody two-shoes. She had her problems.
I came here to see you so that I know I'm doing the right thing.
I am not a something. I am not an it. I am a man. I am a real man.
All I can give is all that I am. I'm a bouquet from a single stem.
So beautiful. It's really beautifully shot. It's a beautiful movie. You can watch it on Amazon Prime if you're a Prime member. So, it must have been weird, though, to see other people playing you.
Yeah.
Was it weirder to see yourself playing you on the screen or someone else playing you?
Well, I'm really not an actor, so I...
Oh, you so are.
Oh, I didn't consider myself like a film actor, so, you know, I was making mistakes left and right. But I remembered he could be one of your special guests, but Johnny was to sing a song of me when I was in high school, and he had this beautiful, like, Mariah Carey voice. And he was like, wah, 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 doing all these riffs. And I was like, honey, think Donny Osmond. You got to think more white bread. I didn't have that voice. So, but he was like, this is my chance to shine. I was like, but you're not you, you're me.
Well, let's ask him. Johnny, do you remember that?
Hi, cutie pie.
Oh, Johnny, you're muted. Oh, wait. Hold on. Maybe I've muted you. Okay, try now. No, you're okay.
Hi,
sweetheart. So, Johnny, do you remember that? That you were just too fabulous?
Of course I remember that.
Good. I said, chill out.
And that was the truth. It was the truth. I was thinking, like, I'm not really playing myself. I'm playing young, in the script, it was young Scott. So I took it into it, but I have to say, I'm not going to lie. Like when I go back and watch it, I think like I should have stuck to my guns and I should have sang out Louise, because it was such a great moment. It's such a great song. And I purposefully come. I think I pulled it back too much.
No,
but
great.
That's one of, I'm not going to lie. That's one of the things when I watch it, I'm like, girl, you can really sing. You should have sang a little bit better.
Well, see, you can always say to people, well, but Thirsty doesn't sing as well. Johnny does. Right.
I disagree.
Do you remember the first time you met Thirsty?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I think we were driving up together. We drove up together, didn't we?
Yeah.
We met you in
New York.
Yeah, 59th Street.
How did you get cast? How did they find you?
This is kind of funny. So this goes, she rest. This is all, thanks to Margot. So I was going nowhere fast. I was in college. I think I had just graduated college. And I was just grasping at straws to really get any kind of, I had an agent, but I had never booked with them. Her name was Nancy Carson. She really picked me up when I was a teenager, and I was really lucky to have her because she was a wonderful agent in that way. I just wasn't able to make it anything really materialize from that. And I had started this YouTube channel with because I wanted to sing. And so I kind of made this character named J-Bo. And I would just I started being ridiculous, just grasping at straws to try to get any kind of anything. And I think Margot had found one of the videos and liked it. And then right as Margot found the video, I had a come to mommy moment and was like, I'm an actor. I need to stop this madness. I'm just going to put all my eggs in one basket. Like, I'm not, I was
and focus.
One on 10. And I decided when I was, I think I was graduated, so it was 22 or 23, and I was like, put 10 in one. So I deleted it. And they couldn't find the video anymore. So I think somehow they found my manager at the time, and they reached out to him. And he sent me the script. And of course, the manager, I think, made it out to be that they found me this film, and this was going to be my next step. And I thought that was very amazing. But the truth is that Margot saw my YouTube page and sought
and
me
got
out
you
and
from
found
that.
Me. Yeah.
So people who make videos and they think, oh, where is this going to get me? Look at that.
I mean, I still had to audition, but yeah.
And what about when you first met? What about when you first met each other? What did you see the similarity? Were you kindred spirits from day one?
Well, I was like, he's too beautiful. First of all, you have to get an uglier kid, and his teeth are beautifully perfect.
Mommy, you're making me look. I'm red faced. Like, you keep making me blush. I just look at you and I'm blushing. But I actually had the opposite reaction. I was like, oh my God, this is totally going to work. Like, I met, because I'd only seen like a few online interviews. Like, because I was crafting my character, I took myself very seriously. I couldn't find, and watching the clips and some of the pictures today, those were clips I could not find. Like, I was trying to
do all my homework. Is out there now.
Now, absolutely, absolutely. And I think YouTube and all of that stuff is way bigger now and attainable. But I remember meeting you in the car and I was just like,
oh, I totally knew it was going to work.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt, I was like, I'm going to play her. Like, this is amazing. You act like you weren't gorgeous. I looked at those pictures today, like, enough. Because you're gorgeous.
Oh, please, I know. Beyond
gorgeous.
So
I fixed it. I was like, oh, word, you can't say that. Can't say that, Mom.
No, I get in trouble. You know, somebody said to me that sometimes when I have an older person on the show and I say, God, look at you in your prime. And they're like, okay, could you say it a little nicer? But you two are night and day. I mean, you guys are so gorgeous. You guys are so, both of you, you're just stunning. Both of you. I have, I've got some pictures of the two of you. Let's see. This is from Provincetown. Who the hell is that, Johnny?
That was an actor who played
the bully.
Yeah.
He played.
All right. Well, get your hands off of him. All right.
I remember that was our little opening
Christopher
that we had
Rivera.
In Provincetown. Yeah. That was Chris. We had our little opening in Provincetown. And I remember.
That's so little. We filled up both theaters.
It was actually, you're right. It was my first time I'd ever gone to Provincetown either. I came right up for that.
Really?
Yeah, and I remember Pat, I love her so much, and we had this wonderful bed and breakfast, and it was just, it was amazing.
And then let's see, what else do I have here? And what about that?
That was the do, honey.
It was. Now, what years did you play Thirsty?
I played Thirsty from like 13, 14 to about 17, 18, I think.
And then Thirsty, you took over?
Yeah, Thirsty like took 19-ish? Over like in the 20s. Like 20s, like 19, 20, I think, right?
20s till
present. Yeah. We had Little Scott was a lovely actor named Cole, who was just so adorable, amazing. And I was just teenage Scott.
It was so much fun.
Fun. You know, it's and it's so funny because
in this it reminded me of like dancing. What was that dancing movie with Patrick Swayze?
Fame.
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. We're like in the middle.
Oh,
of
like
the woods.
A cabin.
Yeah. It was cabin.
Where did it? Yeah, where did it film?
New York, like Catskills.
Oh, yes. Really?
Hudson
area. It was and a lot of.
And how long a shoot was it? How long a shoot was it?
Not too long.
Like a month, maybe into 2 months.
And were you both happy with the end result? Let me ask Johnny first. Johnny.
I'm sorry, I just cut out for a second.
Okay. That's all right. Were you happy with the end result? Was it like seeing yourself on screen?
I didn't mind it, actually. That was my first movie. It was my first movie. I had done I had done like one line on television before, and I had made like a short film during making this movie. And so I also didn't get to see it. It didn't come out until years after we shot it. Like once it came out, I had already done a few other movies and some TV shows, but it really helped me book those things because it was like I was in a movie and it said that I had been on sets and stuff. And so I had that with my little TV credit. It made me viable in a way and to actually be cast. So it was I owe a lot to being cast in Thursday. They were the first people to take a chance on me as a full character that was more than one scene.
What about you, Thirsty? Seeing yourself on the big screen, you'd seen obviously video of yourself over the years. Was it different on a screen like that in a cinema?
I was like, it's about time. You know what? The best part is like I got to travel to like Germany and London, and they would
film festivals.
You know they would subtitle it in Germany, so they're like Hocken, Fucken, Fricken, whatever. I'm sorry if I'm offending any Germans, but it's funny to hear like a German voice come out of my mouth, and it was a great experience. I want to do Thirsty 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yes!
Oh, there you go. All right. And so did it accomplish what you wanted it to, Thirsty? Was it, I mean, did you have complete say over the story and the narrative?
Well, I mean, kind of. I mean, all of the scenes were kind of right out of my mouth. Like, literally, some of the lines were verbatim. What was your question?
Well, you know, was it representative of what you wanted it to be?
Definitely. I mean, I'm, you know, my mother's character, she at first was very boozy and a little not as kind as my real mother was. My mother was amazing. So they softened her up a bit. And I was more nervous about my family seeing it because I didn't want to disrespect any of their lives, you know. So,
sure.
You know, my sister, when she saw it, she like broke down and cried because one scene I'm being raped. So she was like, I didn't know that happened to you. And if it was, I would have protected you. So it was harder for me to see my family see it.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Johnny? Did you, I mean, your family, I know how close you are. Well, how did they respond to seeing you on a film?
Mama, they loved it. They loved it. And it was interesting because I think, how do I say this the right way? It like, they were like, wow, you and Scott are so similar. Like they saw like a kind of like a kinship in a way. They're like, what an amazing part for you. And they know it was my first movie and stuff. And they're like, you kind of got to play like kind of a version of yourself for the first time. And it was lovely. Like I got bit by the bug. I really liked it. Up until that point, I hadn't made movies. I hadn't done anything like that. I was a theater actor.
And then you took off.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you did Stonewall, which is stupendous. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, in some way, what Thirsty would have been like at Stonewall. I mean, amped up, obviously, but it is a very, you know, we all think we're so unique, but what we find out is that we're all so similar as well.
It's true. It's right. I would say maybe we're probably more similar than we are different, but it's, I got really lucky because I, my first character was someone right in front of me. So if I had any questions and stuff, just I'd ask Mama.
Yeah.
Is that the, good and bad? That's got to be intimidating as well.
No, not intimidating. I just wanted to respect, like, Thirsty. And I wanted to feel like they felt respected by, like, what I was doing and, like, that I was honoring, I like, honoring you. Like, that was, like, that made, gave it pressure. I'm not going to lie. If it wasn't you, I would have sang out, Louise. But I love you so much. And you asked me not to. So I was like, nah, that's my
brother. I just figured, I don't think Mariah was born then. And Johnny has this beautiful Thirsty voice that he can do all these tricks.
I did not, I was not singing it like Mariah, okay?
Well, you were singing it really good.
Thank you. You're
wow, welcome. Johnny has an amazing voice. And so do you, Scott. I love you both. Johnny, you look, I think you may have been on this show surprise. more than anyone else, other than me,
that.
Of course.
I love that. It's like I'm like it's The View, and I'm like,
you're like my sidekick. Yeah. You are. Johnny, I adore you.
Joy Behar.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Totally. I adore you. Thank you for doing this. Have a great
love
holiday,
you,
and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Billy, and I love you.
Summer.
Bye, sweetheart.
I want to, and I just it was so special to be a part of this today, and like I, yay. after guest, I'm like,
I know,
adore you. And
he was the first one backstage, even before Thirsty was backstage. So I love that you
love
hung
you,
in
Johnny.
With us. Thank you, sweetheart. Bye, sweetie. Bye. Oh my God. What fun we're having. It's almost exhausting, isn't it?
No, I'm loving it.
I gotta ask you, I found this picture. All right, this person is not backstage, so everyone calm down. I'd like to know the genesis of this photo.
That is Photoshopped.
Oh, it is. It's not real.
No.
Oh, okay. So you have not met Chaz?
I have not.
Okay. Have you met anyone?
I think it would be weird. I mean,
I would think so too. That's why I was wondering.
I remember when I was doing Cher in Boston, there was another drag queen who used to come to my shows and kind of just watch. And then she ended up doing Cher.
Who?
But she wasn't, I'm not going to say her name, but she wasn't doing Cher. She was me doing Cher.
Oh, okay.
So, and I found it strange. I was like, don't copy another drag queen. Go to the source.
Right. Exactly. Find your own take on it.
Because I tend to slip out of Cher and do my little whatever I do. So
right.
So I would imagine it would be weird for someone to be impersonating.
You know, it's funny because like, Liza did perform with, oh God, Jim Bailey as Judy.
Amazing.
And I would think that that is so strange that you're calling someone else Mama.
Drag queens on her
Chad. Well, Chad Michaels. I always think that Chad Michaels is like the West Coast Thirsty Burlington because, and there's so many good ones.
I think his name was Elgin, I think, went on.
Oh, I don't know him. Okay.
He looks exactly like her. It's crazy.
Is there another Cher impersonator? Well, you're saying Elgin, that you're like, wow, that is like incredible.
Chad Michaels is like her.
Right. And does Chad, I'm trying to think, does Chad sing live?
I don't believe so. But
I don't
he was
think
so
either.
Kind. He sent me flowers during my chemo treatment. And I really,
oh, really?
Don't know him. Yeah.
No, oh, he's a lovely so man. Kind. He's
nice.
Lovely.
That's good to hear.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, again, I've said this over and over to people, is I always feel like the good people find each other. Like, you know, we met in passing and we connected when we were in our 20s and like we weren't working together. You and I have, I mean, I shouldn't say we've never worked together because I used you so many times in my shows. I'd say, oh, somebody needs to do this. And then you'd be like, I'll do it. And I'm like, okay, good. You do it.
Well, I think
we had so much
kind,
fun.
People are attracted to you.
Well, you also want to hang out with them. You know, which we did a lot over the years.
You weed out the bad apples.
I don't know if this is photoshopped either. I want to show you this picture.
No, that's real.
Okay, so can you explain what that is, please?
My adorable father when he was
on the right.
On the right, and that's Nick Jonas and Wendy Williams, who had a segment called "I Look Like a Celebrity" or something. And people would say, you know, your father when he was younger, he looked a lot like Joe. What's his name? Nick Jonas. So I sent him the picture, and they immediately hopped on it.
Wow!
And then my father's name was Virgil. And I don't think she could pronounce it, so they changed his name to Sam. And they said, so Scott from Provincetown has a father's name is Sam, looks like Joe Jonas. And the audience clapped, so he looks a lot like that picture.
I think he looks exactly like it. I couldn't believe it when
I
saw this.
My father was very attractive. I did not get his looks.
Oh, shut up, for
I look more like my mother.
Can I just say, not that this means anything, people were all over you when we were kids. Like, you were being hit on left and right.
Nothing ever happened. I think they just wanted to be near me.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you were one of the most popular people in the clubs.
No, but I, you know, when I was first out, I met my boyfriend immediately. And we were together for 14 years. I'm kind of a long-termer, yeah.
Uh-huh. And here's that picture of us from, I think it's 2 years ago. Look how skinny we are. My God.
My head looks like it was caught in a vice.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because, you know, I'm looking at everything else looks proportional. We must have been just very sucking everything in. But it's a good picture. Again, I have to find those old pictures. Here again, Share Live. If you want to see, do you feel now that you've gotten so popular doing Cher that you're pigeonholed into one character?
No.
And is that okay?
Oh, it's great. I mean, but I think I could do anything.
Yeah, so it's not an issue.
But, you know, Cher's just so fabulous. And is she here too?
No, she's not here. She's not coming out. But I am going to... you know, I am going to remind people that they can go to, go to donate to Thirsty's GoFundMe page. Just go to billymasters.com/thirsty and it will bring you right there. So easy. And we have a goal. We want to hit $1,500 in the next 3 days. And I think we can do it. So, and if you want to find it on GoFundMe, just, you know, this is the long link, but you know, it's all too much work. We're very tired, all of us. And you have the show. If you are in the Provincetown area, in the Boston area, anywhere on Cape Cod, go down to the Crown and Anchor on New Year's Day. What time is the show going to be?
9:30.
Really see it. 9:30. And you don't, we
get vaccinated. Oh,
you will have to show proof, and you will have to show an ID.
We'll be wearing a mask, and everyone's going to be very careful.
And there's going to be hot people there, so you also could have sex if you're so inclined.
I'll be nude from the mask down.
That's exactly right. You know, it's. I think that's all safe.
I'll just
I think Fauci said it was okay. Yes, and you know, because you have the husband. What is this picture? This is a little baby.
Look at that
baby
little
drag queen.
That's
like a Bob Mackie ensemble.
Knockoff.
Yeah,
That's early. When in Provincetown. This was during Size Queens.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
God, it's just so fantastic. We're rounding up the ending. So if people have questions, get them in now. We have so much comment. So. Bruce Bates says Thirsty is number one. Well, there you
now,
go.
Now, Bruce is doing my costumes now. Amazing.
Well, apparently Billy Masters is number two. And that's okay. It's fine.
He did Celine Dion's wedding headdress.
Oh, the one in the picture? Her real one?
I think she was only married once.
Well, yes. Yeah, I've seen that picture. I don't have that. Sorry.
Her grandfather. I mean, her
yes, grandpapa. Yes. Well, you know, in France, you can do whatever you want. What other comments do we have? Oh, Ryan Richards. Thirsty is one of the best and my favorite.
Oh, thanks, Ryan.
We don't know who Ryan is. Do you know who Ryan is?
I do.
Oh, okay. Is he cute? Ryan, call Very. Me. And Vinny is giving lots of applaud and smiles and hearts. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'm looking to see if there's, no, that's everything. So what do you hope for the new year? Do you have any plans, or are you sort of taking it by ear?
No, I've already planned my summer show. I want to do like a 1970s Cher show, like the TV show.
Like the variety show.
Like the variety show. I'm going to do all these great 1970s songs that she's
Have you done Laverne?
No, but I think I'll do it on video.
Oh, yeah, because that's a big costume change.
Hard to change. And I've always wanted to do the West Side Story bit.
Really? Okay, see?
Oh, yeah. So I've got a lot of, I'm already, you know, during chemo, you got nothing better to do than plan for your next show.
Future. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you really can.
And you're all, well, like Cher, you know, you've really, you're not traveling as much as you used to, and you're really in residence in Provincetown. But I know, because I talked to Diana, your manager, my friend, you are open to travel.
Well, as soon as all this stuff goes away, definitely.
When you can, yes.
Because I had to cancel a bunch of shows when it first hit. I was supposed to do New Orleans and Palm Springs, love Palm Springs. So I'll just rebook all those shows. I was supposed to be at the Laurie Beachman in New York again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just got to play it by ear, you know, and during my chemo, it was so hard to book a gig because what if I got sick, you know, and I didn't want to disappoint all those people, you know, people pay good money to go see a show and then the artist cancels on them. And that sucks.
Yeah, we should mention that this Provincetown, the reason you only did one show a week was because of that, because that was your choice.
Well, yeah.
Because, again, you don't know what you're going to be like.
I had no idea what chemo was going to be like. And thank God it wasn't as horrible as I've heard.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. I never threw up. I've got neuropathy in my hands and feet now, so that's not great.
What is that exactly?
It's you lose the feeling in the tips of your fingers and your toes.
Oh.
Fun.
Well,
it'll go away.
Yeah. Is it a temporary thing? Does that come back?
I think it can be permanent, but I think it can go away too.
Cool.
There are things you can do.
And so at this point, now you're done with all the treatments.
Done with treatment.
And you go and get checked in what, like 6 months?
I have a scan at the end of the month to check some lung. There was a little particles they were looking at. They think it's from the last time I had COVID in July. You can get some scarring on your lung.
I didn't even know you had COVID. So you had COVID in July?
Yeah, I pretty much stayed in the house the entire time I was doing chemo because you just have to be very careful.
Right.
So I did a show and then did a little meet and greet, and that meet and greet got me. But during July, Provincetown was hit pretty hard.
Yes.
A bunch of us got it. And so I just, you know, I didn't get really sick. So just quarantined and...
You know, we haven't talked about this. How did you find out that you had colon cancer? You what? Sorry.
I was bleeding.
Oh, okay.
You would go to the bathroom. I would notice blood. And I was like, well, this can't be good. So I was supposed to get checked. And then COVID hit, so you really couldn't do colonoscopy. So I had to wait a while, which probably made it worse. Mm. And then eventually had a colonoscopy. So when you're of age, please get a colonoscopy because it can save
Absolutely.
Your life if you catch it.
What are they saying now? 50?
I think they're saying 45.
Okay, so good.
So mine was stage 3 colon cancer.
And how much of your colon did they have to remove?
I don't know. I wasn't watching.
You didn't keep it and make like a little bracelet or something out of it?
I might ask for it. And then they staple your back together. It's very weird and creepy, but now I have a brand new ass, so I'm delighted.
Well, you know, so if you knew the old ass, you know.
And that was pretty nice, too.
So again, you know, it's a good thing, early detection. Because thank God you went and looked into it.
And I was pretty public about it because I thought it would help other people. And it did. I've had people who actually had cancer and we became pen pals. And then I had people that were afraid to get the, you know, colonoscopy. And I was like, just do it. And they did.
Absolutely. So
they, you know, they were like, and we found a little something, and thank God you told me to do it. So I was a little bit of an advocate.
Well, you know, a friend of mine had colon cancer last year, and they had to take like 6 inches out. And I said, well, 6 inches is nothing. But
I mean, I think you have a lot of colon.
Yeah, I think so. And he actually said that they told him that was not a big deal. But it was, he now lives with it and he's very diligent about it. And thank God. So, you know, people, particularly if you're watching this, take care of yourselves. You know, we all harped about HIV. You and I lived through it. Was that, you know, you and I were right there in the front lines, really. And I don't know about you, but I wasn't an out gay man pre-HIV. I don't know a world without HIV. What about you?
I was in high school when it hit. And then I came out, and as a gay man, I was always aware of it.
We were, and also, we, people should know, in, oh, there, you know, I've often made a joke that there was a time there where I was going to more memorial services than first dates. As it turns out, that is still the case.
A lot of people, just as, you know, LGBT people in general, so many people have gone.
And we were all of us who did shows back then, it was a big deal. We did so many AIDS benefits,
so many
for
benefits,
AIDS Action,
yeah,
Committee. It was constant. Again, Club Cafe, we did a lot. Avalon, we did them. But I just remember back then, it was a lot. Everything was a benefit. Chaps on Tuesday nights, we would do a raffle for AIDS Action every Tuesday. So it's the same thing. We've gotten a little bit away from that, but I think that
we went to a really dark place.
I know. I'm sorry. You know, we go to health because what's interesting is that those benefits were also, at a certain point, they became fun because we were celebrating the people we lost and celebrating keeping ourselves healthy. I mean, it was really a very big deal. And, you know, you and I talked yesterday. We came out at the perfect time, I think, because we had an awful lot of fun in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we had so many clubs. When did I come out?
I mean, we went out every night to a different club.
Because each club had a night. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Monday, I think, was Haymarket.
Haymarket was great.
Oh, Haymarket. And then
it was nothing like it. It was like a mixed, it was like a carnival. It'd be like little people in every shape and
who
size.
Is that little like woman? It. That woman, the waitress, who were the cow Tex, Dixie, Tex.
Am I yelling?
Sorry.
Was she like the coat check woman?
Yes. And I think she also did cocktail waitress. Yeah.
I think she had wax. Boobs. She had implants that were made of wax.
No.
Yeah,
is there such a
the
thing?
The only information that I know. I guess back in the day they used wax.
All
or maybe
right, well.
Just she used wax. I don't know. But if the lights
Tuesday,
went out, you could light her tip.
Tuesdays we went to Chaps for oldies night, I think.
Yeah. Wednesday was Latino night at Chaps too.
Yep. And also I had the show with buddies, so you could do both. Thursdays, well, Campus Man Ray.
I was a bar back at Campus.
I was security, if you can imagine.
I
also did shows.
Cutie pie.
And you were you would go-go dance there in the cage. Do you remember that?
In drag,
okay.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. It was like,
I think it was for $50.
It was so fun, though.
But I was out anyway, so.
Yeah, and we got paid. And we were paid to do what we would do anyway. And we would go to Paradise after Campus closed. Paradise. Paradise. Fridays, well, could have been anywhere. 1270, Ramrod, Chaps, Sporters.
I have a story about Ramrod, which was a leather club. And I'm not exactly the leather lookalike.
Tell the story.
But, it's going to be horrible.
There was also a pool table, in case that figures in.
Well, I wasn't on the pool table, but I met a man. He was really hot. He had a leather jacket on. And we drive all the way to New Hampshire, which is like 3 hours away, and I'm wasted and he's wasted. We're hitting guardrails. It was horrible. We get to his house and I'm stuck there because you are. And he took off his jacket and he had a hump on his back.
No.
Like a real
Was
hump.
It wax?
No, it was lumpy. I said, when you said you wanted a hump, but this no, the you know. But I mean,
but was the rest of him okay? Everything else worked?
This is how he got me home. He said he had a big jacuzzi. So I was like, yay, I'll just be in a jacuzzi. But it was to whittle down the hump.
Oh, it was like soaking it.
It was like therapy.
He was like, Madge, you're soaking in it.
Is he backstage too?
119 Merrimack we also had. I'm trying to think where else we had. We had so many.
Sporters.
Sporters was fun. They also had a little restaurant. Luxor.
I remember the restaurant.
Remember Luxor?
Or the video bar.
And Mario's downstairs.
Yeah. I had dated a boy from Luxor who hated me doing it. A lot of my boyfriends didn't like me being a drag queen.
Really?
Yeah, they liked Scotty.
So, but they knew that you did that when they dated you.
Right.
Yeah, but I had that too, you know, because we knew everyone and we were public. They liked us, but they were territorial when you did shows. Like, they didn't like that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it still happens. A lot of gay men really think, you know, why would you date a woman? So if you're kind of dressing like a woman, that's kind of the vibe you're giving off. But I don't think I'm at all like that when I'm me.
No, I don't think you are at all. And, you know, again, you're a performer, you're an actor.
Right. So you take off the dress and you're me again.
Okay. Oh, Ryan Richard just said Luxor. See, it was probably there and I missed it. Sweetheart, we're at the hour and a half mark. We only have 3 hours left of this show.
No, we don't.
This is it. I'm going to remind people, donate to Thirsty's GoFundMe, which Thirsty did not start. Who started it? Okay, because I saw it there, and they went to great pains to say Thirsty didn't want me to do this, but I'm doing it anyway, and fuck you.
It's weird, but it's very sweet.
Was the cancer, was their income, well, obviously you couldn't do shows.
Yeah, I don't think any of us has worked in 2 years because of COVID.
No.
So let's pray it all. You know, people get vaccinated and do the smart thing. And
we will remind people one more time that Thirsty Burlington will be at the luxurious Crown and Anchor under new ownership.
It's fabulous.
Yes,
it is. They've really done a great thing.
Yeah, I met the guy because are they based in Fort Lauderdale or they have something in Fort Lauderdale as well?
They might have a house there, but they just have a house here and they're really breathing new air into it. It looks great. They're really on it.
And we have to credit Rick Murray, who has kept it going all these years. He's been fantastic. Another Medford boy. And I adore Rick. And, you know, also quite a looker. Yeah, Dr. Rick. He was a dentist.
Very kind.
Scott, Thirsty, I adore you. Thank you for doing this.
You.
This was so much fun. I know we could talk forever.
This was like opening up a photo album or something. It was
You know, and again, I know that I probably could have had even more if I had asked you in advance who to have, but I wanted it all to be a surprise. And
yeah, I had no clue.
No. And I will say for people watching, I did say to Thirsty, is there anything off limits? Any pictures I can't show? Any people I can't invite? Any clips I can't show? He's like, I trust you. Do what you want. And I love everyone.
I love everyone.
Right. So stay backstage after we're done and you and I can gossip off screen. And I see someone else is backstage still waiting. I love you. What's your website? Let's send people to your website.
I don't have a website. I'm really
for
not
fuck's
good.
Sake.
I think this is why I never really took off because I don't do the whole computer thing.
Tell people there is a picture. I didn't show it. There's a picture of you and Cher.
No,
right?
Is there?
Where did Cher said something about you?
I went to her book signing in Boston, And I said, hi, I'm Scotty, and I impersonate you, and we have the same birthday, and we're both dyslexic. And she was like, wow, it looks like you're doing a really good job. Or so she said something.
And there is a quote that she has said about
she's
you.
She's smaller than I thought.
Oh, please. I have stood next. I was there at the Oscars the night she won.
Small but Sunny. I mean, because she was
a
good couple feet over. But then, put on platform shoes.
He would have been on that Little People show. That Little People on TLC. They got the Little People have their own show.
Right.
He's a little, he would have been, because Cher, yeah, I at 5'10 tower over Cher. So
she's got the littlest delicate hands.
And what did she say about you that is in your ads?
She said, you do me better than I do me.
And Bob Mackie has said it as well. So I think that we can take that to the bank. And while we're saying take it to the bank, we will remind people, Bob Mackie's book, The Art of Bob Mackie, is out. It's fabulous. If you want a great Christmas gift, it's a beautiful coffee table book. It's so luxurious. So if you want to take a little bit of Bob Mackie home with you.
Now I got to send him my measurements.
You told him you're a size 6, bitch.
Well, I lied.
Well, now you're going to end up like you're going to have lamb chop. It's going to be like a sock puppet.
Word on my hand.
I adore you. People can find you on Facebook as Thirsty Burlington. There is a public group there, or under your real name, Scotty Townsend.
Yeah, I just joined TikTok.
You know,
I'm
and you're on Instagram as well. Yeah, I know.
Dipping into it. I really don't know what I'm doing, but I'll figure it out.
And can I just tell you, stop doing that, because you texted me. I asked you for the video of you and Bob Mackie, him putting the jacket on you. And you're like, I don't know if this is going through because I don't know what I'm doing. It came through totally fine. So thank you so much. I adore you. Have a happy holiday. If you're in Provincetown, go see Thirsty at the Crown and Anchor. Stay backstage, but I love you.
I love you. And happy holidays. And thanks for doing all of this and all these fabulous. That was great.
I love you. I will see you afterwards. Bye, honey. Happy holidays. Everybody, thank you for watching Billy Masters Live. I will remind you, if you go to billymasters.com/thirsty, you can donate to Thirsty's Help Thirsty Get Through Cancer, because now she's cancer-free, we hope. Fingers crossed. Everything is crossed. And, of course, we will be here with our year-end show next week, God willing. There's a lot of shows to go through. So we're going to try to get the year-end show together. But, you know, I'm very busy with the shopping and the celebrating and the sex. There's only so much I can do. So hopefully we'll be here next week. Thank you for watching. As my friend Kenny will get angry, I am Billy Masters. And if we're here, we're live. Happy holidays, guys. Bye.